This is the Sunday Worship Podcast.
Hello and welcome to Sunday Worship. My name is Sam Davidson and it's great to join with you. Our speaker today is Hannah Carr, first year cadet at William Booth Training College from the Champions of Mission session. The Bible reading is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verses 1 to 10. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants, through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care.
I wonder how many of you listening are keen gardeners. Do you love spending time tending your outside space or have houseplants that are a labour of love? I come from a family who love gardening. Both my grandmothers loved gardening, one having an impressive vegetable patch and the other having a small yet immaculate garden with a patch of grass that I'm pretty sure she used to cut with scissors. My mum inherited this love, so naturally I wanted to continue the family line. But as soon as I tried, I discovered that I just can't do it. I worked out I don't have the patience. I'm not willing to lay the foundations and do all the preparation and research to then wait for something to happen. I still desperately wanted the results of a pretty garden, but without the foundations, the careful nurturing, and then patiently waiting for growth, that pretty garden is never going to be achieved. In our spiritual lives, it's easy to do the same. God promises us a life in all its fullness, life to our full potential, but we tend to expect this growth and blessings without putting any thought into how it grows or putting in the effort. The difficult part is that we're not fully in control of how we grow. God is the gardener of our lives and he dictates where we grow and how we grow. There are things we can do to help, just as you would water a plant to help it grow, but ultimately, there is proper growth, and that only comes from God. In this passage, this is what Paul is saying to the church in Corinth. It is part of a passage that talks about spiritual and unspiritual people, in particular, the Corinthian Christians who had received the Spirit, but did not live as those who have done so. The life they were living was not a spiritual life, but a fleshly one that matched the fleshly desires around them. Paul is directing the Corinthians to give up this life and look to God for growth. Paul begins by acknowledging the importance of good growth. Paul's talk of spiritual milk rather than solid food is an acknowledgement that the Corinthians are not ready for the full wisdom and knowledge of God, because there is still so much growing to be done, but they're not going to find growth in what they're currently doing. Quarrelling over little things, being jealous of one another, idolising church leaders, and just generally not living a life that reflects God. Paul is asking them to turn away from those things, back to the basics of Christianity, and grow from there. Another person in my family who loved gardening was my great uncle Brian. Every year he would set a challenge to the young people of our core, giving them each a sunflower seed and see who could grow the tallest sunflower. As a result, sunflowers are now my favourite flower. One of the things you notice is that they turn to face the sun. If they aren't getting enough sunlight, or if there's a shadow blocking the light, they will turn and adjust to make sure they're fully basking in the warmth and light that the sun gives. Are we actively making the effort to turn away from things that block our spiritual light? Are we identifying things that aren't good enough, like gossiping or lying or greed, and turning away from them? Are we turning away from practices that tell us we aren't loved or valued? Turning away from those voices that don't match what God thinks of us? In another one of his letters, this time to Colossians, Paul lists some of these things explicitly. He says that we must put to death things like greed, idols, lust, and do away with anger, rage, malice, lies, and gossip. Instead, clothe yourself in compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Turn away from things that are stopping you from growing, and turn instead to bask in the light that God offers. This might feel countercultural or be difficult. Living a life with Jesus can take a lot of sacrifice. But in doing so, we allow for growth towards Jesus and towards that fullness of life that he promises. When we've turned away from the bad things, it's then important to maintain the right source and ensure you're turning towards the right thing. If a sunflower turns to something else, not the sun, will it still grow? Maybe, but not to its full potential. The growth we need is not human growth, like getting taller, getting promotions in our jobs, or reaching a new life milestone. These feel great and we can be proud of ourselves, but sadly it's not true growth. That comes from God and God only. Verse 6 is the really key verse in our scripture reading today. Paul mentions his colleague and known theologian Apollos, who contributed greatly to the growth of the Christian church in Corinth. The context to this is that Paul had heard of people worshipping himself and Apollos as founders of the church rather than God himself. Paul therefore reminds them that while he planted the seed and Apollos watered it, it was really God who did the growing. Without God, there would have been no growth, and that's true today, both in the church and our lives. We don't do the growing, neither do church leaders, our friends or our family. They might contribute, but really, God is in control of it all. No matter how much effort we put in, it's ultimately out of our hands. That's really hard to accept and takes a lot of trust. We often want to rely on our own planting or watering, or the church leaders around us, because that is more tangible than godly growth. We can measure that growth, and we are in control. Godly growth might not always look how we want it to, or it takes too much sacrifice. It is not measured by our human standards, but by God's. But when we can't see it, God is still growing us fit for his purpose. We simply have to surrender our growth to him. Proverbs 3 verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." Surrender yourselves to him and trust him with the direction of your growth, and he will do immeasurably more than we could ever imagine. God is all-powerful and all-knowing. He knows what's best for us and has the power to make it happen. But he also loves us and wants us to be a part of him. Because of this, he does something unexpected. He chooses us to be a part of his growth plan. In verse 9, God calls all of us to be co-workers in his service, to help him with the growing. Just as Paul had a part in planting the seed and Apollos watered it, we are chosen to help him grow his church and build his kingdom here. Sometimes we don't know why God would think to use people like us. But Paul reminds us that it is by God's grace that we are chosen. Favour given by God despite everything, despite our flaws and mistakes. Grace that means he still chooses to use us for our own growth, the growth of each other and the growth of the kingdom. The growth of the kingdom is a key part of God's message. He wants everyone to experience his love and be in relationship with him, so that they can grow to the full potential and experience life in all its fullness. He calls us to help him by sharing the good news and getting other people on board. We are the communicators of the gospel. To make this happen, we have to do two things. Firstly, transform our lives. If Jesus isn't at the centre of our personal growth, how can we expect him to be at the centre of our church growth? If God is not the source of all our growth, individually and collectively, we risk empire building rather than kingdom building. Secondly, we must work together. We are blessed to be part of this amazing holy family, a community of people that have the potential to build each other up and encourage each other. One drop of water has very little impact, as much as it might try, but joined with other drops, there's the potential to form a lake or an ocean filled with mighty power and life. Use each other as a united church community to build each other up, encourage one another, support one another, and be there as a community. That way, you all grow a little bit more in faith, which in turn can grow the kingdom of God. So how do we apply this to our lives? How do we allow for good, godly growth while being co-workers for God? First of all, plant the seeds. Be open to God's word and what he is saying to you. Turn away from those things that God tells us to turn away from. Lies, gossip, self-indulgence, anything that goes before God. Deny yourself the things that don't bring you closer to God and intentionally take up the things you do. Then, through these things, you can water it, nurture your faith gradually. Be intentional in maintaining your relationship with God by taking up things that bring you closer to him. Read your Bible, spend time in prayer, give thanks to him and look for him each day. Go to church, meet with like-minded people who can encourage and empower one another in their walk with God. And finally, arguably the most important, give it all to God. Surrender everything to him and allow him to do the growing. Don't get frustrated by looking backwards and saying you haven't grown enough, or by looking forward and setting unachievable goals, trying to do it all yourself. It takes some sacrifice and it isn't easy. It takes patience, it takes work. But if you give all those efforts to God, he will do the growing in your life, in your church, and in the lives of those around you to immeasurably more than we could imagine.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you to Hannah for bringing God's word to us today. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forever. Thank you for listening. Goodbye and God bless.